Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brian, what's going on? And thanks for a couple of minutes once again.
Well, it's good to join the schmooze here tonight. I'm actually in my film room here, Steve. Just still catching up on a lot of week four games here. So just kind of watching some of the football that just got played and kind of projecting ahead here into week five.
Well, you're 24-7 with the NFL. That's always been a part of your MO, part of your DNA. No surprise to hear that. What to me, it has been, at least, it's fair to say, I think, the first 4 weeks of this NFL have been wacky and surreal and crazy. You have Goff in Hollywood throwing for 517 yards and losing. You have Brady throwing more incompletions than completions and doesn't throw a touchdown pass. They only have 74 yards running on the ground. And, of course, they end up winning. And you have the New York Football Giants, who looked absolutely as bad as Miami the first 2 weeks of the season. And wait a minute. You know, Elton John was right. It looks like Daniel. And Daniel Jones comes on and energizes not only the offense with the mobility and the footwork and creating plays that break down, but also energize the defense. So let's start with the New York Football Giants. And here the defense, which in 11 drives had given up the first 2 weeks, in 11 drives they had given up, Brian, in 10 of those 11 drives, over 70 yards in each of those drives. But now it has been the last six quarters, only 6 points allowed. Second half, of course, against Tampa Bay. And this game against the Washington Redskins, only 3 points. How do you explain the addition of Daniel Jones and the whole team looking better?
Well, they're doing a lot better on third downs. They were 8 of 12 on Sunday, so they're hanging on to the football, Steve. They're converting it, and they're staying on the field. So that gives the defense a little bit of extra rest. And they're scoring points. I mean, let's face it. You know, I mean, they put up, you know, 32 points against Tampa Bay. They put up 24 last week, 7 by the defense. But they're putting up points, and they weren't doing that in the first two games. And they're, look, this kid seems special. You know, I mean, I went to Duke. I kind of followed him when he was there, and you know, kind of pulling for the kid. And you know, but he's played well. He's played really well. He's very mobile. He keeps his eyes down. He just does so many good things. And suddenly, you know, this team seems like it has more than enough weapons with Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram and Darius Slayton, and minus the star of the team. You know, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, is they're doing this without Saquon. And I don't think anybody could have ever imagined the Giants could win two games, whoever was that quarterback, without Saquon. And they're doing it without him.
Mm-hmm. And listen, he's with the arm, he's with the, and now he's made some mistakes. He's put the ball on the floor a couple of times. He threw two picks on two consecutive possessions this last week. But he has, again, I mean, made enough plays. A third and 13, he runs for 15, 16 yards. And even Hart Murmur Shermer is a little bit more aggressive with his employing the read option. Obviously, if you have a mobile quarterback, you can do that. And also, he's a little bit more daring than he was when Eli was quarterbacking the first two games on a fourth and two. Let's go for it. And he got it.
I agree. I thought that fourth and two call, you know, was really important, because he went empty on it, Steve. And it was really up to Daniel Jones. And the Redskins, you know, they've got four number one draft picks up on that defensive line. They're all capable of rushing the passer and really creating havoc. And he just trusted Daniel Jones to get the ball, I think, to Shepard on the play for 5 yards and a first down. But it was against good coverage. I mean, it was a great throw. And it had to be in the right spot in order to convert it. But I think you're seeing just, a real complete confidence in the organization behind Daniel Jones and what they think he's capable of doing. And that play was probably, you know, pretty representative of how they feel about him.
Yeah, Winston in game number one threw for over 300 yards in the first half. Now, he calmed down a little bit in the second half. But and then, of course, Case Keenum, absolutely awful, was looking better throwing to Giants than he was guys on his own team. The Redskins look as bad as Miami and Cincinnati, to name three. But now the competition is going to get a little bit tougher with Minnesota and New England next up for Daniel Jones and that offense.
Well, it will, and I'm looking forward to being at MetLife Stadium Sunday. I'm doing that game on national radio this weekend, Steve. And I've watched all the Viking games so far this year, and they really they want to be a great running team with Dalvin Cook. Going into last week, he led the league in rushing through 3 weeks, and then they ran into the Bears, and they couldn't do anything. They just got dominated on both lines of both sides of the ball, especially in the trenches. They couldn't run it, and they couldn't throw it, and they couldn't get it. But they've got two really good wide receivers and Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, and they just kind of gotten away from throwing it to them, you know, and putting it out there and giving those guys a chance. I mean, Adam Thielen can beat anybody one-on-one in this business. So I will see. I mean, they're kind of crowing a little bit about not getting the ball, and I don't blame them. So we'll see if Kevin Stefanski and the guys call the offense right now for the Vikings do anything about it. They've got a really good defense. They were good against the Bears. Chase Daniel just kind of dinked and dunked, you know, and made one big play against the Vikings defense, which is all they needed because the Vikings offense didn't do much. But they have a really good defense, a good scheme, really good players up front, and Pro Bowlers at every level. So it's going to be the best challenge that Daniel Jones has seen thus far.
You think Kirk Cousins is overpaid?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I mean, if you look at him, Steve, over the last 5 years, not even before that, but just the last 5 years, his record is below 500. And, you know, in big games, he hasn't beaten the Bears in three tries, 0-3, one of them with a chance to go to the playoffs. You look at him against really good competition, and he doesn't look like a top-flight quarterback. He needs a lot of things to go his way. There was a game this year when he threw the ball, I think, 10 times, and they won the game, and they just ran it, you know, and they just played ball possession, and they really didn't let him throw it. But he had one deep shot last week to Adam Thielen. He had the Kyle Fuller beat, and he just missed the throw. But, you know, if you ask me, Steve, is he worth $84 guaranteed million? I'd say no, not at all.
Oh, there's no question. All right, what about what we saw with Tampa and the Rams? Rams at home and with a good defense, we all thought, Brian, yielding 55 points. What is going on? And then we saw, as I alluded to before, with Brady throwing more incompletions than completions. Mm-hmm. 8 penalties for New England. 74 yards on the ground, 150 yards for Brady, and still they win. They can't lose, Brian.
Well, a couple things, Steve. One, I did that game out at the L.A. Coliseum on Sunday, the Rams and the Bucks, and the Bucks took the ball away. You know, they took it away 3 times and forced, you know, 3 interceptions, and they capitalized on all 3, turned them into 21 points. Jameis Winston's an improving player. I think the combination of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin is the number one wide receiving tandem in the NFL right now. They've got 8 touchdown catches, 6 in the last 2 weeks. But Jameis is getting better, and Bruce Arians is good with quarterbacks. He was good with Ben Roethlisberger. He was good with Andrew Luck. He was good with Carson Palmer, and Jameis is improving. Outside of the one interception last week against the Giants to Mike Evans the second half, he played well in that game. He played extremely well last week. And the Bucs look like a different team right now. The Rams, Aaron Donald didn't do anything. They had a great game plan for Aaron Donald. And then they asked, Jared Goff to throw it 67 times, and they got completely away from the running game. And I don't know if that's a good formula. And then if you really look at what Buffalo's doing, to talk about that game up there in Western New York at Ralph Wilson Stadium, I still like to call it. You got to really study this Bills defense, Steve. They're really talented. Sean McDermott's a great coordinator. They take a lot of things away. They really understand what you want to do. And I think it's going to be – it's not going to be long, if not starting last week, where teams are going to catch up to a substandard offensive line that the Patriots have. They've got a left tackle that's off the street. They've got a third-team center, you know, playing center right now. They've had three different right tackles play. They don't have a quality substitute for, you know, what Rob Gronkowski was. Sony Michel, their starting running back, is averaging less than 3 yards a carry. I mean, Brady can only do so much, Steve. It's not a good offensive line. They've been really beset by injuries all year long, and I think it's really catching up to them.
Are you more impressed with Kyler Murray or Kyle Allen?
Right now, Kyler Murray is on pace to throw the ball well over 700 times this year. He's going to be sacked on pace for 80 times, which will be an NFL record. I'm more impressed by Kyle Allen. He's a guy who plays with incredible poise. I know he had the ball knocked out of his hands a few times, but he's played really well. The Panthers are back in the race. Kyle Allen's a big part of it. He had thrown four touchdown passes the week before against Arizona. You know, just get the ball to Christian McCaffrey as much as you can right now. That's kind of what the Panthers are doing. But Kyle Allen has played really well. He played much better than what Cam Newton had played in the first 2 weeks. And, you know, he's playing winning football right now. And so Kyle Allen has been a better player right now than Kyler Murray.
Yeah. Do you think Vontaze Burfict ought to be playing in the NFL again?
I don't know if he should be playing again, Steve. I can't make that call. But I agree with what John Runyon did and suspended him for the rest of the season. It was a flagrant hit. In fact, it was interesting. He hit Jack Doyle. I mean, he just launched and just went right for the head. And we just can't play the game like that anymore. There was a time when the game was played like that. It's not played like that anymore, and it can't be played. And you have to send a message. And the interesting thing about that play was as soon as he hit Jack Doyle, three of the offensive linemen of the Indianapolis Colts started pointing to the head. Like he hit him in the head. The players know it now. Mm-hmm. It's inside their head that you can't do it. And they were looking for the flag, and they were saying that that was the players were saying it was an illegal hit from the Colts side. And so now the players kind of know what it's supposed to look like and what you can and cannot do. With his history of what he has done in this league, I had no problem with John Runyon from the NFL offices decided to do to Vontaze.
And I think he ran, when he got ejected in the game, he ran off the field smiling. Did you notice that?
I didn't see the live broadcast, Steve, so I don't know what his reaction was. But, you know, if you're smirking or anything like that, you know, I mean, I think he probably, I don't know what he knew, what his fate was going to be, but he was on a zero tolerance policy as far as headhunting at the middle linebacker position. He'd been doing it for a long time. He'd been fined like $5 million in his history if you count all the games he's missed. They've sent a very strong message to him before, and to do that on Sunday for the whole world to see, it wasn't a smart move by him if he really wanted to play football.
What is going to happen this season with Sam Darnold of the New York Jets?
Well, there's not much he can do about that spleen. You know, I mean, if the spleen is whatever it is, whether it's swollen or, you know, whatever the condition of it is, there's not really much you can do. I mean, I guess there's some medication you can take, but I've seen mono affect players for more than 2 months. And I when I saw the Jets last week, I went up there, Steve. I talked to, I did some things with Joe Douglas up there and saw the head coach, whatnot. But, I mean, they thought he was turning the corner, and they were very hopeful that he could be back for this game against the Eagles Sunday in Philadelphia, and that doesn't look like it's going to happen. But there's not much he could do right now. I mean, they're not going to put him out there until he's completely healed and until the mono is completely gone and the spleen is not at risk. So it's just like being an injured player right now, and the injury, in this case, the spleen and the virus of mono, it hasn't healed.
They are missing not only Sam, but they are missing the continuity of a good offensive line, and they are without much depth, as you know. They don't have a pass rush. The secondary isn't very good. The linebackers aren't very good. Do you think, from what you have seen, Brian, and we're talking with Brian Baldinger, radio.com, also the host of Prevent Defense. That's an NFL podcast. It's out now on radio.com and the radio.com app. From what you've seen, do you think the New York Jets are using Le'Veon Bell the right way?
They are. In fact, I think in some ways Le'Veon's playing the best football of his life because he has to. I mean, the last game he played against the Patriots, I mean, he just splattered Dante Hightower, you know, on a run down the field. I mean, they're trying to get the ball to him, you know, as much as they can. I know his average is 2.9 yards a carry. It's not good. But I think they need Sam back there. I mean, right now, I mean, the Patriots were sitting there with an extra guy than the Jets could block almost all game long. And most teams, Cleveland did the same thing. The teams are just sitting there, and they realize that the quarterback situation, whether it's Simeon or Falk, just isn't good enough to really threaten them down the field right now. And the offensive line, you know, has been on their heels. I think Ryan Khalil will get better. As the season goes on, he missed all the training camp. He was retired. I mean, I think he's going to get better.
And Brian, the left tackle has been a disaster.
Yeah, and Beecham has not played well. They are going to get the tight end Herndon back. Eventually C.J. Mosley will get back. Eventually Quinnen Williams will get healthy. I mean, they're going to improve at some point. But I don't know when it's going to happen. I mean, they might very well be out of it, Steve, by the time you start to see the improvement. And then, you know, people will just sort of dismiss it. But, I mean, they've got some really tough games coming up with the Eagles and the Patriots and the Cowboys. I mean, look, it's going to be a second-half team, and they've got to try to, you know, if Sam can get back in there, they've got to try to win as many games as they can. If they end up winning six games this year, it's going to be a lousy record, but it's probably going to be a good season if they get six wins.
Well, here's the question from what you've just said. Yes, if there is some improvement, and Falk is not NFL caliber. I mean, he's not Mason Rudolph. He's not with what we are seeing with Jacksonville, with quarterbacks who look like they're NFL ready. This guy is not an NFL player, Brian, and I know you want to be positive as much as you can. If the Jets are going to end up getting better, and I would put quotes around that word, as the season goes along with very little depth and little talent, especially at quarterback on the offensive side and lacking as they are on the defensive side, if they are going to get better, Brian, do you at all take a chance and risk the health of Sam Darnold if the Jets are not apparently getting themselves into serious January football?
Well, I mean, look, when he's cleared, then they have to play him. Because, I mean, you're only going to get better by playing. I mean, you can't really worry, you know, about injuries or anything like that. If he's cleared and this mono clears up, then he's got to play. I mean, that's the only way you get better. You don't get better by watching. You don't get better by going out there and practicing on Wednesday in shorts. I mean, you get better by playing. So he's got to play. And, you know, his everything about his whole game has to improve, whether it's his ability to make the reads, get the ball out quickly, identify the open receiver, just pre-snap, you know, tendencies or what the other team is doing. He's got to get out there and see all of that. And so I'm all for when he gets cleared to put him out there, regardless of what the record is and how they're playing.
You like Adam Gase?
I like Adam. I mean, I think it's a little, you know, I mean, it's kind of an incomplete at this point. I mean, I don't know how many coaches would be good if they're at their third quarterback right now and all the guys that they have lost. I mean, C.J. Mosley is their best defensive player. And, you know, they've got a 16-0 lead against Buffalo in the first week when he goes out and the whole defense just falls apart. They've got nothing out of Quinnen Williams so far. I mean, right. The third pick in the draft. It was their number one player on their whole board. And so, I mean, you got to give him a chance to put this thing together. It's Joe Douglas' first year. He's not happy about any of it. Where he's been in Baltimore to Philadelphia, Steve, I mean, they're big and deep and strong in the trenches. And the Jets aren't like that yet. I mean, you got to give them another year to kind of keep building this thing.
You think Joe Douglas is the kind of GM replacing Maccagnan who can turn things around more sooner than later? Do you have confidence in him? Be honest, Brian.
Full confidence. Full confidence. I've known Joe for almost 20 years. I have as much confidence in him as anybody mm-hmm. in this whole industry that knows how to put a team in a locker room and the pieces together. So I have full confidence in Joe. And that would be the least of my worries if I was a Jet fan.
Who's going to be impeached first in Washington, yeah. Gruden or Trump?
I don't know. You know, the trumpets are getting loud on both sides here, Steve. I don't want to make that call right now, mm-hmm. but, I mean, that seems to be the word, whether you're inside the Beltway or outside the Beltway right now.
The Detroit-Kansas City game was closer than a lot of us expected, although we should expect the unexpected every week in the NFL, that's for sure. In that Detroit-Kansas City game, correct me if I'm wrong, were there five, count them, five lost fumbles in the third quarter all by itself?
I don't know if I have that number right, Steve. You probably know better than I do. I don't remember the exact number. I know this.
I think it was five.
Okay, I'm going to go back and check it as soon as I get off the phone with you here, Steve, and find out if that's true. I don't doubt your stats at all, Steve. But, you know, if you give Patrick Mahomes, I don't care, 30 seconds or 60 seconds to go
sure.
win a game, I mean, you just can't end the game with the ball in his hand, because if they just need a score, he's going to score. I mean, he's thrown 10 touchdowns and no interceptions. He's been sacked three times, once every 52 passes right now. He doesn't get sacked, and it doesn't matter who's in the lineup. The guy can throw to anybody on the field from any position. We simply, in a year and a quarter right now, we've never seen a player play the position like Patrick Mahomes is playing it.
And he's like, what, 21, 22? And I know on the game-winning drive on fourth down, that was quite a scramble by him. What was it, 14, 15 yards in that kind of neighborhood of scrambling? It looked as though he was going to be brought down, and maybe Detroit was going to escape with a win, big upset. But no, on fourth down, Mahomes couldn't find a receiver, scrambled for a first down on that game-winning drive. And, of course, with what, less than 30 seconds to go, they end up winning the game.
Well, he's a phenomenal athlete, Steve. I mean, I know Pat pretty well. He did a lot of his Texas Tech games. I remember when Cliff Kingsbury told me that the first time he ever saw him play was in a state basketball playoff game, and he was the best player on the field, draining threes and dunking. I mean, he was just the best athlete on the field. And at that position right now, I mean, he's not the fastest guy, but he might be as good an athlete as anybody playing that position, and he's just as tough as you can get. And he, in that play, it was just, he knew exactly how far he had to get.
Mm-hmm.
And he got within a couple inches past the sticks to keep the drive alive. And, you know, he's just a baller and he's a gamer. And there's very few guys that have the makeup of what Patrick Mahomes has.
And what to make of the Cleveland Browns? In week three, they were so awful and disorganized and uninspiring, and then they come out in week four last weekend and beat Baltimore 40-25, and Mayfield has a big day, and Chubb running for 165 yards, and what was it, over 500 total yards against Baltimore. And who was that choking Odell Beckham Jr. with both hands, Brian?
Well, I mean, it's a week-to-week league. The offensive line played really well. They went to a two-back system in the game. They put Farrell Brown at fullback. It really opened things up for Chubb, and then he finished the game off with an 88-yard touchdown run. And to be honest with you, Steve, I could have put my morning cup of, you know, Starbucks coffee on his helmet, and he wouldn't have spilled a drop. I mean, he was the fastest player. They said he was running at 22 miles an hour, the fastest any player had gotten up to this year on that run. But they ran the ball really well. The offensive line played well. The addition of Farrell Brown really helped. And then Freddie Kitchens came up with some really good play designs. Jarvis Landry had his best day as a Cleveland Brown player. And, you know, a team that couldn't score from the 1 yard line, you know, just 6 days before or 7 days before against the Rams, suddenly felt like they could score from anywhere on the field. And that team can be dangerous because defensively, regardless of what the offense has done this year, the defense has played well in every game so far this year.
Brian, ever since the Super Bowl when the Falcons blew that 28-3 lead, they haven't been the same. What's wrong?
Well, they're a mess defensively. I mean, they can't tackle. That's part of it. And then offensively, I mean, Austin Hooper leads that team in receptions, and that's a team that has Julio Jones on it. They're not very good on the offensive line right now. And they tried to. They drafted two guys in the first round. One guy's hurt, and he's out for a while. They just haven't put a great offensive line together in front of Matt Ryan. And they don't have much balance. They don't run the ball well. And so it's a lot of things. They don't run the ball well. They don't tackle well. They won them basically the final play against the Eagles on a Sunday night. Otherwise, they'd be looking at 0-4 right now. And we'd be talking about them like we talk about the Bengals and the Cardinals and the Dolphins right now.
I think last year the 49ers had two takeaways. I think they have 7 or 8 after 3 games. Are you surprised they're undefeated, Brian?
I'm not surprised. You know, they haven't played the elite yet. They'll play Cleveland next Monday night. Mm-hmm. It should be a great contest in San Francisco. But, you know, they went on the road. They won their first two on the road. You know, they had beaten Tampa down there in Tampa. But, you know, they had 2 interceptions all year last year, and they've got 5 right now. Hmm. They've got maybe as talented a defensive front as there is in football. And they've played well so far, and I think they could play a whole lot better.
And you would say the best team as we speak right now, 4 weeks in, maybe 8 weeks in, maybe 12 weeks in, my guess is you would probably say if I ask you the best team in the league, you're going to go with Kansas City.
Well, I think Kansas City, you know, I mean, offensively, they're the best team in football. I don't think there's any question about that. But defensively, I don't think they're great. And if you look at the Patriots right now who are undefeated, defensively, they're great. I mean, they gave up a touchdown last week. They don't give up many touchdowns. They're just as well coached in every phase of the game defensively. And even Buffalo, I mean, they sacrificed their quarterback to try to score a touchdown. I mean, they just make you pay. And they're very difficult to play. They got a lot of veteran guys, they've got a proven system. Nobody even knows who calls the plays on that defense. But you bet anything you get against that defense, you're going to earn. They just don't give you anything.
A final question. America's team. Are they the best team in the NFC East?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that, Steve. I mean, I think the Philadelphia Eagles showed last Thursday night against Green Bay that when they get healthy, when they get Dallas Goedert back at tight end and, you know, Alshon Jeffrey got back there last week, made a big difference when Deshaun comes back. I mean, those games between Philadelphia and Dallas, they're going to be marquee games. They've got 2 of them coming up. But they'll be marquee games, and the Eagles aren't taking a back seat to the Cowboys now, next week, and not ever during the season. So those two will battle it out for the best in the supremacy of the East.
Well, you're talking about with Philadelphia, and of course we know from preseason expectations, but Green Bay really had a terrific chance of winning that game. First of all, we were hearing nothing but good things about Green Bay's defense. Forget about that, at least in this game with Philadelphia. But you have the ball on the Philadelphia 1-yard line, and you have Aaron Rodgers not giving it off, not taking it himself into the end zone and throwing that interception. They had those two red zone turnovers. Yep. No good, Brian.
No, it's not, but I think it's an indictment of the offense. I don't think the offense is a great offense. It doesn't look a whole lot different with the new head coach than what it was. And, you know, their star receiver doesn't have a touchdown catch in Devontae Adams. They look limited. The offensive line got just whipped at the line of scrimmage, so they couldn't run the ball very well. And the Eagles are better in the trenches than the Packers. They ran the ball for 173 yards. And the Packers, who came in with all kinds of takeaways and, you know, all kinds of, you know, gaudy stats, just got it handed to him by the Eagles in that game.
Brian, I can't thank you enough. You're always as thorough and interesting and always insightful. And I can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes of your time. Have a great week, number 5, and I look forward to the next time.
My pleasure, Steve. It was always fun, man. I'll talk to you down the road.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.